and Chapel Hill. This is Wilf's Wake Up Call. Wilf being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We have wonderful guests today. Mary Lou Leiser Smith, Coordinating Director for the Coalition for Peace and Justice. And she's also on the executive board of the Israeli Committee Against Home Demolitions, USA. And she has brought a guest from England, Dr. Stephen Sizer. Mary Lou, will you tell us more about Dr. Sizer?
Sure. It's a great pleasure both to have both of us here, and especially to have a guest from across the seas that works together with the coalition and works together with many groups across the globe to bring about peace and a just peace in Israel and Palestine. Dr. Sizer and I met first in the streets of Bethlehem in Palestine, and we've been working together for over 10 years now. And his expertise is as a preeminent scholar on Christian Zionism, the area that he has devoted much of his academic life to, and then in relationship to that, his activist life.
Dr. Sizer, or can I call you Stephen?
Stephen, please do.
Yeah, Stephen. can you just tell us, what is Christian Zionism? A lot of people have heard that term, but I think it's not clear, and tell us about it.
Sure. Christian Zionism is a movement that really began in the 1820s, 1830s. It began as a movement of Christian leaders in England who felt that it was God's will that they assist the Jewish people to be moved back to Israel, Palestine. And it emerged as a lobby movement working with British government and then the US government to achieve that. They really facilitated people like Theodor Herzl and the other early Zionists in the late 19th century to get a hearing and get the support they needed to make a claim on Palestine, which was then part of the Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. When the Ottomans were progressively defeated by Britain and some of the other powers, Britain assumed responsibility for what became Israel, Palestine, and Jordan, and then promised the Jews a homeland, promised the Arabs to protect their rights. But at that time, we were really just interested in occupying that part of the world for our own empire. Modern Christian Zionism emerged after 1967 with Jimmy Carter's election and Menachem Begin's election in Israel, and Jerry Falwell began to facilitate a relationship between your U.S. political leaders and the Israeli political establishment, and it became a kind of a win-win. It was beneficial both for the evangelical right and the Israeli right to partner one another and lobby for one another. So it's the reason you will not find a single, well, virtually a single serving U.S. politician critical of Israel. Why is that? It's because of the power of this lobby movement.
Wow. You know, and I had no idea that it went back into the 1830 or something. I thought it was just a much more modern thing. But in this country, I guess, is when we started hearing about it, was around...
It began here in the 1850s, 1860s. James Brooks, William Blackstone, mm-hmm. famous for the Blackstone Memorial, mm-hmm. Lobbying Benjamin Harrison to assist the Jews back to the land. Mm-hmm. It was a strong link between the Zionist movement here in the States and the Christian right, certainly from the 1860s, 1870s. The Scofield Reference Bible gave a kind of a theological basis for the movement. It became a very popular study Bible with notes telling Christians that they should support Israel and that this would bring the return of Jesus.
I think I heard part of your program on the state of things, and I think there was a difference with the when it started in England in what they hoped that the Jews would be converted, where now in this country it's more that they'll just be left behind as the rapture occurs. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the early Christian Zionists believed that the Jewish people would be returned to Israel, Palestine, as Christians, in the same way that we were civilizing the world with our colonialism and the Bible. Mm-hmm. So the British saw a compliant Jewish presence in the Middle East as assisting the British Empire in the same way that Napoleon had tried the same. And but from the 1880s, 1890s particularly, the movement became increasingly secular driven, as Zionism was itself, in the belief that all Christians had to do was support Israel and God would bless the Christian community. So God bless America because America looks after Israel.
Wow. So, maybe you could tell us a little bit then about, since they've gained, it seems like, enormous power in this country, the Christian right in many ways, but also with this support for Israel, you know, what are the political implications of Christian Zionism on our policies?
Well, it's clear, I think, from our side of the pond, that your foreign policy in the Middle East is being shaped by the Israeli agenda. Israel wants it wants subservient, passive neighbors. It wants to continue to expand its claim on Palestine, steal the land from the Palestinians, destroy their homes, build exclusive settlements, build exclusive roads that only Israelis can use, build this wall which is designed to steal as much of the West Bank as possible. And all of that's being funded by U.S. tax dollars and Christian donations. So back to your political agenda in the Middle East, why are we in Iraq? Why are we threatening Iran? Essentially, it's to protect Israel. Iran is not a threat to America. Iran is not a threat to Britain. Iraq was never a threat. The whole idea of a 45-minute warning that somehow Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Well, they did initially because we gave them to them, but you know, it was predicated on an agenda which was being led by what was in the best interests of Israel. We went to war with Iraq for Israel, not for ourselves.
So
the difficult thing here is that it sounds like everything is Israel's fault, and I think one of the things the coalition really wants to work on is to draw the line between Israeli government policies that are detrimental to a future of all the people. The Coalition for Peace with Justice is very anxious to bring out all kinds of data that support both peoples living together in the land, coexisting with peace and harmony and understanding. And it feels like a very long, long road when government policies are really coming in the way of of bringing about any kind of a just situation. So in this case, we're criticizing the government of Israel. It does not mean that we don't like Israel. We want Israel to exist.
We do work with Israeli groups in particular, like Jeff Halper's Israeli Committee Against Home Demolitions, B'Tselem, the Israeli Human Rights Organization, Jews for Just Peace, Jewish Voice for Peace, the Women in Black. There are numerous Israeli organizations who equally are burdened by the occupation of Palestine and the oppression of Palestinians and the belligerent approach Israel's government takes towards its neighbors, which are detrimental to the security of Israelis. We want to see peace with justice, reconciliation between two people's groups, but that can only be achieved by the rule of international law and an independent, sovereign Palestinian state. That's in the best interests of Israelis, and many Israelis recognize that.
So the Christian Zionism movement then essentially is an obstacle to peace, Israel wanting to have peace. I mean, there's all this influx of this money and propaganda, which is a bulwark for the Israeli government's policies and makes it harder for the peace groups and the progressive people of Israel to really have much of a chance to have their voice really heard. It's what it sounds like.
You're right. You've got a theological position that is cast in stone that is non-negotiable, that the borders of Israel are from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, that God gave that land to the Jewish people forever, Jerusalem is their capital, that the temple is going to be rebuilt, that there will be a war of Armageddon against the Arabs and against Europe and anyone else who gets in the way of America and Israel. If you buy that theological framework, you get it in the Left Behind series, the books. You get it from John Hagee. Jerry Falwell used to espouse this. If you buy that dogma or that doctrine or that theological position, then the peace process at best is a waste of time, at worst is against God's will. So challenging Israel to withdraw to the 67 borders, allow Palestinians their own state, is against God's will. And that's why you find Christian groups opposing the United Nations, opposing the peace process.
Well, this is really scary stuff. And I didn't realize just how hard it was for any politician to say anything about the Israeli government's policies. It came home to me when Jimmy Carter wrote his book, you know, and it had apartheid on the cover, which is true. That's what's happening. If you have roads that only one group can ride on, and they go right through the other person's land, and they're not allowed to ride on it, that's apartheid. But we're going to take a station break for a minute and remind you that we are listening to Wilt's Wake Up Call in downtown Carrboro. And I just want to tell you that there is a strike going on in Moncur. Moncur is less than an hour from here. It's in our backyard, and it's one of the few unionized plants in this area. And they are in their 10th week of a strike, and this strike was forced on them by when there was a contract negotiation in April. The straw that broke the camel's back, along with many other things, was a 60-hour mandatory work week, which was physically something that the workers could not do, given that when it's 100 degrees outside, it's 120 in the plant. So there's a group forming to support the workers, and I call your attention to the News and Observer of September 23rd, a few days ago. On the triangle section on the front page, there is a wonderful picture of the struggling strikers and the story about what's going on there. So I want to call your attention to that. And let us get back to our program. Our guests today are Mary Lutelizer Smith, who's the coordinating director for the Coalition for Peace and Justice, and on the executive board of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, USA, and Dr. Stephen Sizer, who's here for a short trip from England, talking at universities in Florida, at Duke, and here in other places, and trying to talk about his expertise is Christian Zionism, which many of us have heard about but have a pretty hazy idea of what it's about, and maybe have no idea of the power and influence that it has gained in this government and in support of Israeli government policies that are counterproductive to peace for both Israelis and for Palestinians. Mary Lou, tell us about the coalition. You've been working, I've known you, and I know you've been working for years, and I know that you lived in Palestine some years ago and have on the ground knowledge of what's going on and many contacts there. I know you go back on visits several times, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about your work.
Sure. I thank you for that opportunity, and one of the major aspects of our work is to work in conjunction with other peace groups, and so that's why I think we're here, because we're about the same with Wilf. We're about the same concerns in the wider world. Yes, we work with education and advocacy, basically for a just peace in Israel and Palestine, and in that endeavor also it involves understanding all of U.S. policy and in the whole of the Middle East. So what does that mean? We bring a lot of different speakers. We have people from the area also who have gone to the area and continue to educate, bring about a more comprehensive understanding of what's going on, much more so than what our traditional media offers us.
Mm-hmm.
We're therefore working on educational programs. We're working with the media. We're working to educate our legislators. And we really want to spread the word and have more people join our cause and check out our activities and have some great opportunities coming up next week, as a matter of fact. Shall okay. I talk about that now?
Yes, you can. We'd love to hear about it.
We have a very dynamic woman. Her name is Nora Carmi, and she is a staff person with a ecumenical center in Jerusalem that is working internationally as well for awareness and for just peace from a Christian perspective. So one of her talks will be at Binkley Church on September 30th at 6:30, starting with a potluck. And there she's addressing what the fears, aspirations, and challenges might be at this point in time for a Palestinian, for a woman. And in that light, I want to say that she recently, last March, received an award for her activism and community development in the last 40 years of Israeli occupation. She is herself a refugee from Jerusalem. She's Palestinian, but she is and lives in her own city in East Jerusalem, but she's a refugee from what was the larger Jerusalem back in 1948.
Oh.
So that's one program, and we want to make a point that that is being held in a church. It's being held on September 30th, which is the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And in that light, we want to say that we respect that that is a very important time for our Jewish friends. It's also continues to be a program, as Stephen's have been, during the holy month of Ramadan. And since we really want to respect our different religious traditions, we want to make it clear we're not trying to exclude, but we have to take advantage of people coming at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So this specifically will be more of a Christian program and isn't expected to be a public event. A more public event is going to be the next day on October 1st at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Raleigh. And that, at that point, Nora will talk more about memory, reality, and beyond, her experiences as a refugee and today living in Palestine, and how what she sees as a way to move forward. So she'll revisit the events of 1948, which we are this year thinking about. It's 60 years since the establishment of the State of Israel.
This is an important year, isn't it?
It is.
What a milestone.
And examine what the struggles are for freedom and how people can move forward in justice, in peace, and in reconciliation. So please do check out this information and our website, which is www.peace-with-justice.org.
Well, it sounds like you have some important events coming up. You know, it's through you, Mary Lou, that I have learned so much, because I will confess, like many people, I knew very little about Palestinians or Arabs, and it was a little scary. And it's been a learning process, because our media does not cover that very well, and you just hear all the negatives and have no idea about the depth and richness the culture in Palestine. For example, I think many of us did not realize that many Palestinians are Christian. Mm-hmm. And when you had a symposium, what, about 3 or 4 years ago at the United Church of Christ, or United Church of Chapel Hill, it's called now, and brought over so many people, including, I forget the name of the priest from Sabeel, from Palestine.
So, Naim Atik, yes.
Yeah, it was, and you brought Jeff Halper over. So all of this was an incredible learning curve for myself, and I think for many of us who have been very ignorant of a lot that's going on in the situation. So I just appreciate your efforts, because it's year by year and little by little, you know, trying to get this word out against this massive media dumbing down of any knowledge of the situation.
Well, I'd like to pick up on that, because it really connects as well with what Stephen has been doing. We had a meeting of maybe 25 people day before yesterday, at the News and Observer, addressing the issue of their distributing a DVD called Obsession.
I heard about that.
And that indeed has not just been distributed here, it's been distributed across the country, and very specifically actually in swing states. And what seems to be behind this is a very concerted effort to demonize the whole Muslim religion and radicalize it in such a way that the fear factor really goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So what was encouraging was that Muslims and activists, academics, all came together with the News and Observer, and we had a wonderful dialogue, and we're looking at ways that we can continue to bring the true message out. We are very concerned that a DVD doesn't get recycled in the boxes like our papers do. It will continue to be in people's homes and incite the youth the way that it is. So we have a lot of work to do, and one of the things that folks can do is to respond to the letters to the editor that are continuing to roll in about this issue.
Well, is there any a countermeasure that you can take? Can another DVD go out? You know, maybe that would just cost too much money. Some people are so well funded to do hateful things, and sometimes peace folks are not as well funded.
To suggest maybe Stephen could speak a little bit about how the Christian right has influenced propaganda and advertisements and been a great influence not only in the print media but besides that in Hollywood and other places.
I want to hear that, but I just want to ask one other question that came to me. Has anyone been able to find out, I mean, surely the Antinomists know, who did fund this DVD?
That's the very strange thing. They really admitted that they hadn't vetted the situation well, and when they went to the fund, they could not identify the board of directors, and since then
it was a front, in other words.
There are actually a lot of there's a lot of information out there. There are websites that show that the Arabic translations are inadequate and misrepresented. And if you Google Obsession, you'll see a lot of the counter information as well. It's called the fund that supposedly is a 501c3 in the United States is called the Clarion Fund.
The Clarion Fund.
And that
that doesn't tell you very much, does it?
And when you Google it, you don't find much information either.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your efforts about that. But let's get back to your question to Stephen. If we haven't got your mind all the way.
We're dealing with probably a core of 25 to 30, 40 million Christian Americans who believe it's their mandate to lobby on behalf of Israel, support Israel, and fund things like this. So a lot of money is coming out of the Christian community in America. in the belief that they are doing God's will, that they're furthering his will for Israel and the Middle East. And therefore, they get behind projects such as this, demonizing Islam, generating fear, polarizing opinion, them and us, you know, between the axis of evil and the coalition of the willing. They want to create a polarized world, the good guys and the bad guys. So it's fueling fear of the Arabs and now it's the Iranians. You find them supporting the settlement program financially. Churches adopting settlements.
You mean these illegal settlements that are the biggest stumbling block for peace?
Yeah, they're being financed and supported by the settlers. The lobby to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is being lobbied by Christian groups who want to get the U.S. embassy moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, because if America moves its embassy back, everyone else has to do the same, and that would be the end of a two-state solution, because unless Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, can be the hub for the Palestinian community, you end up with isolated Bantustans. You end up with Indian reservations around Hebron, Bethlehem, Jericho, Ramallah. If they're not connected, there's no future for Palestine.
And right now they're cut off by all those Israeli roads cutting. It's like a spider web.
It's precisely. So there's a lot of money going into this movement, and it's the reason that U.S. politicians find it so hard publicly to challenge the neocon agenda, the Israeli agenda.
Well, that's why I mentioned Jimmy Carter earlier and the uproar and the way he was treated was such a shock. I mean, here's Jimmy Carter, who's been considered one of our best ex-presidents, you know, and I think he's won so much acclaim for his work for peace all over the world and for Habitat. And the way he was treated and vilified, I could see any other politician without, you know, he doesn't have to run for re-election, why that would terrorize them into never being able to speak truth. We're getting close to finishing up, and is there any last word about that you want to remind us of what's coming up next week, or any? It's yours. The last few minutes.
Well, September 30th at Binkley Baptist Church to hear Nora Carmi, and
6:30 potluck.
6:30 potluck, and the next day, Wednesday, October 1st. In Raleigh at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship at 7 o'clock.
Stephen?
I'd like just to say thank you to listeners for joining us this morning. I'm desperate for my cup of coffee now. But before I go, can I encourage anyone who, if you'd like more information about this movement and what you can do about it, my own website has a lot of information. It's sizers.org. That's S-I-Z-E-R-S. sizers.org, or if you Google my name in on the internet, you'll find a lot of stuff written about me, both for and against. And I've had two books published recently by InterVarsity Press, IVP, Christian Zionism Roadmap to Armageddon, ? And Zion's Christian Soldiers, ? And you'll get those on Amazon or any good Christian bookstore.
Great. Or through the coalition.
Through the coalition. And to reach the coalition, want to give you?
Once again, it's www.peace-with-justice.org.
Okay, if we have a second left, I just want to let you know that we are being underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore in downtown Chapel Hill on Franklin Street, West Franklin Street. It's our community, just like this is our community radio station, that's our community bookstore. And you can go there and not only get wonderful books and learn more about Christian Zionism, but you can also find all kinds of peace events and justice events that are going on in the community.
Maybe that's where we need to get some of those books.
Yes, we need to get them. Stephen's books in there. We'll tell the Internationalists to be sure to carry them. And if we have a minute, I just want to let you know that two of our WILF members are now in New York to meet with the Iranian president as he was at the UN, and will be coming on our radio program in a week or two and giving a report about this meeting with the controversial president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. And thank you so much. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call signing off.